Well, around this time of comic books and baseball cards, God was drawing my young heart. As I look back, I can see there were a few things that were critical to my coming to salvation. Critical to my desire to be saved, and critical to my desire that my friends would come to know the Lord. Number one was the drawing of God the Father. This is the work of God moving in the hearts of those hearing the gospel. It goes like this. You're sitting there hearing that God loves you, that he has a plan for your life. You hear that God has sent his son Jesus to take away your sin through Christ's death on the cross, and that God wants to make you whole. He wants to make you pure. And though it didn't make sense to you before, or maybe you just didn't care about it, you now believe in your heart that this is truth. And you know to call on the name of the Lord Jesus as Savior. It's a work that God does in your heart. Second was the witness and ministry of faithful believers. This is why Jesus told his followers to make disciples. This is why it's so important that we tell others about the grace of God. I think of my mom and dad and those who invested in their lives. There was a woman named Ruth Mertz that shared the gospel with our next door neighbor, Kay Reed. Kay called my mother and said, "You've got to come over here and hear this." My mother went next door and heard the gospel for the first time. From there, she started attending Bible studies that Ruth led and soon after came to faith in Jesus. It wasn't long before my dad came to the Lord, my older brother, and then me. The ministry of faithful believers was critical to my coming to salvation. And three, there's the final critical piece of the puzzle, and it's the gospel itself. The background of the gospel is the reality of our separation from God because of sin. The gospel is the message of Christ's sacrifice on the cross to pay for our sin. Through the gospel, God calls us to faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And as Paul said to the church in Rome, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And depending on our answer to that call, we are promised either eternal life with God or eternal damnation in the lake of fire. Well, at that time in my young life, reading comic books, playing with my G.I. Joe action figure, I knew that I was a sinner, and I knew that I wanted to be saved. One of the tools God used to get my attention was a small black and white comic book entitled, "This Was Your Life." This little cartoon cut through and had a great impact on me. Over the years since then, I often thought about that scene when I'm standing before God and the film begins to run. What will I want to have been my life? What will I want to be true of me at that point? Even now, when I'm tempted to react in fear instead of responding in faith, it occurs to me, with all that God and his people have invested in me, do I want to blow it now? What do I want to be true of me as I'm standing before my God? One thing we all have in common is that we all started off in life in the same condition. We all began in sin and in desperate need of a Savior. We didn't know it, but we began our lives spiritually dead. We were separated from God. We were destined to an eternity in hell, not because of the bad things we've done, but because we were born into the curse of sin. Thankfully, God did not leave us in that condition without offering us good news. God has offered us his grace and forgiveness and sent his son Jesus as a sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sin. If you are here today, never having embraced the gospel, never having trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are already dead. You're just waiting for your physical reality to catch up to your spiritual reality. Jesus said in John 3, 16 through 19, and if you would turn there, you could follow along. Most of us will be familiar with this passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. My concern today is whether or not you're ready to meet God. As now another year has passed, perhaps this will be the year, 2017, could be the year that you will stand before God. The books will be opened and the theater in the sky will be featuring "This Was Your Life." Are you ready for that? Do you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are your sins paid for? Are you righteous in his sight? And are you sure of it? Well, whether or not you're sure, I'd like you to consider these three questions. One, do you have a relationship with Jesus? You see the text in your bulletin if you turn to John 6, 4, 4. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Now notice a father draws a person to saving faith, a saving relationship with Jesus, and there is no other way a person can be saved. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." A relationship with Christ does not come out of an intellectual decision. It's not about weighing the options, looking at all the different religions and making a choice. This is God working in hearts, pleading with people, saying, "This is the day of salvation." God wants you to have a relationship with Christ so that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross can be applied to you, so you could be forgiven of your sin, and on that last day you could stand righteous and worthy before God, completely secure in God's promise of eternal life. Jesus' promise to those who trust him as Lord and Savior is, "And I will raise him up on the last day." This is a promise of eternal life with God in heaven. The next question is, do you have a relationship with the Father? And as you see in the bulletin, turn to John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, Jesus is the only way to a relationship with God the Father, the only way to salvation. The truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ is the only message of salvation. An eternal life with God the Father and spiritual life itself can only be found in Christ. In short, there is no way to have a relationship with God without a relationship with Jesus. If you would turn in your Bibles to Romans 10, beginning at verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now let's look at this passage in reverse. Now notice there are 2 points for me, there are 3 points for you. One, I was sent to preach the good news of Christ. I stand here today preaching the good news of Christ. Now notice your part. You hear the preaching of the good news of Christ. You believe the good news of Christ. You call on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And finally, there's God's part. We see in verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, that God our Savior desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. God wants a relationship with you. He wants you to have a relationship with Jesus because he wants you to be saved. This leads us to our third question. As we will all be resurrected, which resurrection will be yours? Let's take a look at Hebrews 9, verses 27. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes judgment. We only get one spin around in this life. It's short, but death is not the end. After that comes judgment. The most important question at that point as we stand before God will be whether or not we belong to Christ. Whether or not we've repented of our sins and lived for Jesus. Turn to John chapter 5, verse 25. Jesus speaking says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. He has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Notice that death is not the end. All will be resurrected. The question is, which resurrection will be yours? Those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will be resurrected to eternal life with God in heaven. Those who have not will be resurrected to judgment and eternal damnation. When I was a kid, I liked comic books because there was always a hero to save the day. It didn't matter which series, there was always a villain inflicting fear, pain, and suffering to those who were helpless and unable to defend themselves. The villain would lock them up so they were unable to free themselves, unable to get away. He would mock them, lie to them, and cause them to feel hopeless. The villain sometimes would try to get his victims to pledge allegiance to him, and sometimes it would work. But somehow, with great power and courage and great risk to himself, the hero would enter the scene, defeat the enemy, and set the people free. Mankind was under the control of a powerful villain. All of humanity was imprisoned, tormented, and tortured by the greatest of all villains, sin. As we sat there bound and gagged, being beaten, mocked, lied to, and left for dead, the greatest hero, the hero of all heroes, God became man. He broke through the wall, defeated sin, death, and Satan, and offered to lead us to freedom. Jesus said in John 1:12, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God." Today marks the beginning of the year 2017. As someone who does not yet know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this can be the year that you call out to Christ in faith and repentance. This can be the year that you have assurance of eternal life with Christ in heaven. As a follower of Christ, this could be the year in which you develop a closer relationship with God, a closer walk of obedience, a more faithful witness of God's tremendous offer of grace. And for some of us this year, this may be the year that we stand before God. And are we ready for that? So try to visualize it. You're standing there in the presence of our Almighty God, Jesus Christ in all his glory. And he says to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." This can be each and every one of us. You may have lived a life very far from God. It's not too late to be forgiven. It's not too late to be saved. You may have lived a good life, but never have received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do not let another day pass. At the end, some of us will remain in the front if you wish to pray. 2017 could be the greatest year of your life. It could be the worst. The difference is based on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, you are our Creator God. And it was by your will that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ. We thank you for your precious gift of grace, the sacrifice of your Son. We thank you for that death on the cross. We thank you for the promise of eternal life for those who believe. We ask, Lord, that this would be the year that lost souls come to faith and that those of us that know you come to greater love and obedience. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.